the following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or on how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goals, Nathan has the strategies to get you there. And now here's your host, Nathan P. Ross.
Welcome once again to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, where we're going to be discussing ongoing retirement tax strategies, also some collateral topics that lead into tax savings, tax planning, and I guess for those of you that are still wondering why we keep harping on planning versus reporting, which I guess the way our practice seeks to operate is we aren't real concerned about becoming your CPA for tax reporting or tax preparation purposes, although we do a significant amount of that work. We're more concerned that we help you plan your future tax bills, not the ones that for the year that just closed. There's not a whole lot I can do for you with the 2020 tax year, although there are some things that can be looked at, and so we obviously would want to know about your reporting profile. But anyway, just to elaborate, as I do at the beginning of every show, a little bit more on the disclaimer that was read on the way in. I want to make it clear that Nathan Ross, nor MP Ross, nor BeAPlanner.com becomes your tax, legal, real estate, or other professional advisor simply because you listen to this radio show or hear a podcast, access a website, submit a contact us request, send or receive an email from us, call us, etc. We look at this show as edutainment, I guess. It's some education, hopefully some entertainment for you on a Saturday afternoon. And you only have a CPA, a professional relationship with us once we've provided you with an acknowledged receipt of an executed NP Ross Client Services engagement letter. And I would also like to say, I'll tell you just a little bit about the profile of our client. Our client is typically someone that's already, they have retirement funds, or they're behind on retirement funds in most cases. Their savings for retirement, they're concerned. They've identified the real estate asset space, excuse me, as being an area that they think will provide them the throughput to increase their savings. And I've seen it happen many times over the last 20 years or so since I've been working almost exclusively in the real estate slash retirement slash private placement arena. That's private partnerships, real estate private partnerships. And, these folks have usually joined one of the investor platforms, mentor platforms that are either here in Houston or across the country. We work with clients all over, and they hear that there might be a way to invest their single largest pool of money, which is their 401k plan or their IRA, in private real estate partnerships, but they don't know how, and then they're getting conflicting information. I hear, in fact, just on the show that preceded this, I heard that, your employer's IRA does not pay you. Well, that's a lack of knowledge, in part because while the employer 401 will not pay you, a self-directed 401 will absolutely pay you. And how do I know that? Because I have one, and I've got a bunch of clients that have them. And guess who writes the checks? We write the checks to ourselves when we're ready to take the money and pay a little bit of tax versus doing what assorted other mentors and platforms espouse, which is, rip the Band-Aid off and pay your tax on, anywhere from $200 to $2 million up front. And I'll tell you right now, the math that I will show you at beaplanner.com. That's BEAPLANNER.com. Scroll all the way to the bottom, sample illustration, and you will see what that will cost you under all four scenarios that you have to execute real estate investing. And I will tell you that ripping the Band-Aid off and paying tax now is insane, is absolutely an insane suggestion. And you need to be aware that there is another option where you can control your money, you can invest in real estate, and you can retire, or as I say, and Marvin Zindler used to say, do whatever makes you happy. There is a way to get there by understanding, having the knowledge base, having the education and the intellect to pull off the correct tax code to execute your retirement funds under. And this is potentially whether you're old like me, over 59 and a half, or you aren't ready to change your job, because those are the other two ways to get to your money is, you know, most 401k plans, well, all 401k plans will have that option. We can show you how here in the state of Texas, if you're married, and I'm going to add happily, just because that's what the strategy needs to include. In most cases, we can allow you to tap your funds from your employer's 401, from your 403, from your 457, from various and assorted other qualified plans under the tax code. So you don't give up just because you ask your HR department, you know, can I take some of my money out of my 401? And they say, well, let's see here. Are you getting ready to quit your job? Or did you have a few birthdays we weren't aware of? Because we show you to be, you know, 52. That doesn't mean you stop. You know, give us a call. The best thing to do would be to go to our BAPlanner.com website, submit the intake forms. I'll be happy to show you your own in live living color 401 math illustration. I'll custom prepare one for you, showing you exactly what this will translate to. And I'll even use the assumptions that other platforms on this very station use when they tell you you can retire in 5 years. And we'll see if you can retire in 5 years, because part of those intake forms are going to be to find out things that I don't hear discussed on the radio with some of the other shows. Is I want to know how much money you have. How much are we starting with? And then I want to know how you define retirement. And I don't define retirement as what I know the reality is on some of the clients I've had over the years that are members of these various organizations. They won't retire in 5 years. Why? Because they're not starting off with $1 million, and they may define retirement instead of $40,000 or $50,000 a year, which is what some of the fact patterns I hear on these shows would translate to at best. They're looking for more than that in retirement. Maybe it's 150, maybe it's 850. You know, everybody's a little different, and your resources are different. Your strategies, your ability to execute is different. And I'm not saying you won't retire in 5 years, but I am saying most people won't unless you're starting with about $1 million and you define retirement at somewhere south of $200,000 a year. And that probably fits some people. I know it does some of our clients. But I'll also tell you, for those of you that think you're behind, you know, I've got my average client probably has $200,000 or $300,000 in a 401 when they come to us. And I've watched this over near 20 years now, some of the strategies that we work with. And, you know, the happiest day of some of these clients' lives is when they have a tax problem. Okay, trust me, that's not a bad thing. And we'll help you mitigate taxes using any one of a number of strategies once we know more about what we're dealing with. Well, I hear this, it's hard to believe the first 14 minutes has already passed us, so we'll pick up when we come back. If you want to get a question in, give us a call, 281-558-5738, or send an email to nathan@npross.com. I've got my email up. Be happy to answer any question real time. We'll see you on the backside here.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Paul Merlin, a radio icon. His unique style and warm personality endeared him to so many. His endless stories and great music will never die. Paul may no longer be with us, but his memory will live on. KSEV is proud to continue with the best of Paul every Saturday evening, 6 till 8 p.m. Paul said it best as he closed his show.
We'll meet again at 700 a.m. KSEV in Heavenly Houston.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
Warm, touching warm, reaching out, touching me.
Okay, welcome back to the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Again, if you have questions and would like to have me address them real time here on the air, either call in to 281-558-5738 or shoot me an email to nathan@npross.com. And I won't use your name unless you tell me to, so no worries about that. And I may not address the question until next week, depending on what it is. But this is an option for you to find out what you probably won't find out from most CPAs. There's very few, if any, that I'm aware of that actually address the intersection of real estate taxation, retirement taxation, private syndications or private partnerships. And then lastly, we're doing a lot towards getting your taxes down to the zero tax bracket. And speaking of, the I guess in the news this week, one of the notable, let me get my article up here. This article popped up on a number of sites around. Boy, it doesn't take them long in Washington to change the direction of where we're headed as a country when it comes to taxes. And of course, I know most of you are probably the type that keep up with the news, and you know, all the emphasis early on was the stimulus, and you know, didn't really want to talk about the oncoming tax plan, which was next. Well, now, you know, we've got the $1.9 trillion stimulus act passed, and boy, now it's coming. And you notice on I guess it was Friday yesterday, there in the U.S. Biden finally is admitting that the $2 trillion infrastructure plan, which that's just the first phase, now that's not at all going to be the end game, it would actually bring tax increases to people that earn less than $400,000, and $200,000 is now the mark. And the way they've covered their tracks here is that the $400,000 mark was applied on a family basis, not on an individual basis. So the reality is now they're admitting that a two-partner family would be impacted if combined income crosses $400,000, meaning that if you make a couple hundred thousand and your partner makes more, well then, you know, that individual that makes more is going to be affected by higher taxes. And that's a significant change from earlier remarks. Of course, they're trying to make it sound like, well, no, that's what we meant all along. And so, you know, I'm telling you, the tax rates are on sale right now, and you probably have, maybe, we're hoping, through the end of the year to get your Roth conversions handled and take advantage of assorted other strategies that may or may not still be intact once we see the impact of these tax, not just the tax rates. The tax rates are overt. We actually know about those. What you don't realize is the silent tax that you're paying because of the trillions of dollars that have been added to the deficit over the past year. And in fact, it may come as a shock to you if you'll go to truthinaccounting.org. That's a website that's chock full of good information about the state of our debt as a country, and then they've got studies on the top 75 cities to show you just how bad off most all of those are. There's a couple bright spots, but for the most part, they're in a world of hurt. So you're going to see tax increases at the local level. Maybe not as great here in Texas, although property taxes are going to be hard-pressed not to go up because of the impact on state and county budgets, and the states and the municipal, the cities and the county budgets are really stretched. But anyway, it's interesting. Mr. Biden, a quote that was on the Friday press conference or announcement, I'm not sure it was a press conference actually, said, quote, raising taxes, the studies show, I'm not sure which studies we're referring to, the ones I read are absolutely different, but he goes on to say, will not slow the economy at all. Asking corporate America just to pay their fair share will not slow the economy at all. It will make the economy function better. It will create more energy, end quote. Now, I got to tell you, that is absolutely unbelievable that someone running our country does not understand how raising corporate taxes will slow the economy and asking corporate America to pay their fair share. Do we think that corporations just turn around and pull that extra tax out of a savings account? Or do they most likely adjust the prices on all the products you and I buy? Who do you think really pays that tax? And do we think it, I tell you what, if it makes the economy function better, why don't we just raise the taxes to 100%? Let's make the economy function as best as it possibly can. In fact, let's go to 200%. That might make it even better. I mean, it's obviously absurd to think along these lines of logic, and this is just the beginning. You know, if we're going to raise it for the stuff that was in the Stimulus Act, which, you know, arguably had very little to do with stimulus, perhaps, COVID, which is what it was sold as, COVID relief, almost had zero compared to the total dollars. And, you know, I'm telling you that the tax brackets are on sale, and you need to take advantage of getting some of your dollars that are still yet to be determined how much of a partner the federal government is in your future, i.e. the tax that you'll pay when you start liquidating an IRA or a 401. And we need to start moving those funds not out into the personal, you know, capital gain type pool of money you have, the taxable bucket, but more importantly, moving it to the tax-free bucket via Roth conversion, which if you're going to pay tax, let's pay tax in that method, with that method, so that now the rest of your life, any investment income and the principal that comes in off that side of the 401k, which, you know, the Roth 401's been around now for more than a few years. Approximately 40% of all the big companies have it. We put it in every self-directed 401 trust that we adopt for our clients. And it's by far the best option if you fill the brackets, as I do, will probably double for sure in our lifetime, and I would say it potentially as fast as over the next 8 to 10 years, because if the rates don't double or we don't magically find the money tree somewhere, we won't be able to pay. The entire federal budget would dwarf the amount of the taxes that we collect. It'd be hard-pressed just to pay the debt. So in any event, conversions, Roth conversions, and then reallocating some of your assets into pools of money that can be accessed, not just free of tax, but they're not even reported, such as taking withdrawals on the cash value of a permanent life insurance policy. There's a number of ways that we have of dealing with the taxes. Let's see, there was something else in this article that I was the boost back on the corporate tax rate. Corporate taxes will go back from 21% to 28%, which you know is not quite as bad as they were before the 2017 Trump tax act. But in any event, there's going to be new taxes imposed on overseas business profits, and the move towards taxing investors' capital gains, especially those of us in the real estate sector, that will likely be part of this first phase. And it's likely we'll end up seeing taxes leak down into the sub $400,000 category, the increase. And then, of course, this is all over and above the issues we've got with Social Security and Medicare, which, you know, are pretty well documented. And again, truthinaccounting.org has copious information about this. And it's independent. I don't get a sense that it's leaning one way or the other politically. It's pretty much, it's what we do. It's the math. You know, we focus on the math. When we show you these illustrations, you know, we appreciate the emotion that's generated by the radio broadcast, by the podcast, by the case studies, et cetera, these various investor platforms. You know, emotion is what gets you to take action. But I guess somewhere between the emotion and the taking action, you really need someone to analyze the math to understand how what you've heard applies to you, because it clearly applies to some people. I mean, again, there are many people that may be able to take advantage of the write-offs. Most people won't, however, and I get a kick out of hearing mentors say, well, yeah, just go ahead and cash out that 401. You're going to get a bunch of write-offs in those partnerships that you invest in this year, so not to worry, when in fact most people, almost 100%, will not have the right type of tax facts and circumstances to utilize those deductions. It's not that you'll lose them, you just won't be able to use them in the current year. They'll have to be rolled forward, and we help you understand that. We analyze the math, we show you exactly what you're going to experience, and we plan accordingly. And we plan before the next tax filing deadline, not as we approach it, because by then it's typically too late. Let's see. There was a couple other things that I wanted to address. You know, when you talk about Roth conversions, and of course it's not just the 401 that can do a Roth conversion. The Roth IRA is also something that we can do Roth conversions with. And yeah, you know, the issue eventually appears on your radar as to how do I fund the tax? You know, do I take the tax out of the investment account that we're converting, or do we pay it from sources outside either the IRA or the 401? And you know, we're always going to suggest that the funds are available outside of the 401 or outside of the IRA, that makes more sense, because otherwise to put it colloquially, you're killing the geese that are laying the golden eggs. And in this case, it would be the compounded golden eggs if you pay the money from within the investment. So we would always recommend paying it outside to the extent we can. And as far as I'm mentioning Roth 401, Roth IRA kind of in the same breath, there are differences between those that are critical. For our clients, a Roth IRA has significant income limitations. It's got a significant contribution limitation. Doesn't really have a significant conversion limitation. But understand, the Roth IRA, I believe, and I don't do a lot with contributions into Roth, so I'd have to check, make sure it's still the right number. I think it's a $7,000 limit if you're over 50, age 50, that you're limited to. Whereas with the Roth 401, we've got an annual limitation, an effective limitation of $63,500. It's not an overt employee elective deferral, but between that and the backdoor strategy, we can get to $63,500. And that's irrespective of your income limit, which that's pretty significant for people that we're dealing with. But in any event, I hear we're going to break again. So, again, if you want to ask a question, feel free to email me, Nathan@npross.com, or give a call to 281-558-5738 or 281-558-KSEV, the voice of Texas.
TheBeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV. Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
Catch Chris X Radio weekdays at 4, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
At one point or another, it seems like every politician panders, including their wives. Sometimes they hit the mark so perfectly that it's almost magic. Dr. Jill Biden tried last week.
Say it with me. Si se puede. The future is ours.
This was not one of those times.
Chris X Radio, weekdays 4 till 6, right here on The Voice of Texas.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. Was a one-way conversation. I never got the invitation. The sharpness of her words deceiving. And I couldn't stop the bleeding. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving. But getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, we're back from the break. I was talking about the differences, or some of the differences, between the solo K or 401 Roth piece specifically, and each of the self-directed 401 trusts that we work with. We include both components because eventually, I think, with the tax brackets on their way up, it'll make more and more sense for people to say, okay, I get it. I realize I'm going to be paying more later, and we'll start to offload dollars out of your pre-tax bucket, if you will, over to the Roth, where we're trying to take advantage of some of the brackets just over where you're at now, but certainly not all the way up to the top. And that gives you a chance to fix the percentage or the portion of the account that will end up in the government's coffers as opposed to your own. You know, the other thing that I guess is critical here is, you know, when you take money out of your 401 and now you're, you know, on the outside looking back, and of course I'm always comparing what's the ultimate tax that gets paid. I recognize that, you know, when you invest your money in real estate partnerships, there are deductions. It's just the timing is more of the issue. And you know, when you there's no question that ultimately, if you put a dollar in, you get a $1.50 out. And I've said this pretty much every week we've discussed this topic. You're eventually going to be taxed on the 50 cents. And I understand there's loss carry forwards. There's potentially, and not with most of the partnerships that we have clients participating in, there is potentially for a small independent-owned property the ability to do a 1031 or tax-free exchange, but that's probably going away. It's already on Biden's list. And then I understand that as we get older and then we pass away, we get a step-up in basis for estate tax purposes as well as income tax purposes, which, again, that's on Biden's list. That'll probably go away over the next few years. But even then, there's other issues that impact those elections where it's not quite as clear-cut as just assuming you know get a pass on paying taxes. And I'm going to suggest to you that the amount of tax that most my clients will pay, with the ones with or without the 401 structure, is similar. What's not similar is the throughput in terms of how much increase to your net worth, your family's net worth, is attainable by keeping the dollars in a position where they compound free of tax. And let me explain, you know, some people come to me and they say, well, I've got this money in my IRA. Can I just invest it from my IRA into a real estate private placement? And, of course, the answer is yes, you certainly can. The problem is that when there's leverage involved, which there will always be leverage involved if you're going to make money with real estate, the IRA will pay a tax, and we refer to it as the unrelated debt financed income tax, or UDFI. And, you know, the piece that that represents is, you know, it can be as high as 37% at only $13,500 worth of income. And it's punitive, in other words. Whereas the 401 trust is exempt from the UDFI tax. It's the only vehicle under the Internal Revenue Code that receives that exemption. It's not a gray area. It's black and white. If you want to read it and then maybe go to bed early, it'll put you to sleep. Is code section 514C9, two little II, I believe is the exact section. But specifically, you get an exemption. So you could theoretically have an IRA that you invest in a deal, and you could invest your 401 trust right alongside it. And the IRA is going to pay tax at the end of the day, assuming there's a gain on that transaction. Whereas the 401 will pay no tax. So the 401 retains that extra sliver of capital somewhere in the 25 to 30% level, depending on how much recapture is involved of some of the depreciation, depending on which state you live in. I mean, there's a number of things that would impact that specific level of cash or tax, rather. But bottom line is, when you think about the ability to continue forward into the next investment with, you know, 100% of your gains, and then you look at the compounding effect over the next 30 years, in most of my clients' cases, it's pretty significant. And again, this is all the while in the context of you controlling your money. You will have the checkbook to decide who, when, where, how much to invest, or to pay yourself. I want to be very clear, this 401 allows you to pay yourself, and you pay a smaller amount of tax. And if you pay tax on the whole account, so you're keeping all those little geese that are laying those compounded golden eggs working for you until such time as you're ready to pull them out. And in fact, I would suggest to you that you'll never pull the original, what I'm going to call principal, it's really the corpus of the trust, you'll never pull that out and expose it to tax, because why do we want to access those dollars to begin with? It's to invest it in real estate. And so at what point are you going to start killing the geese that are laying the golden eggs? You're probably not. You're probably going to live off the cash flow that comes out. So inevitably, we're going to let your children or your heirs, maybe they're not children, maybe it's a charitable organization, we're going to let those parties worry about paying the tax on that original amount of money that would have gone to the IRS a long time ago. And by the way, last time I checked, the rate of return or ROI on your, quote, investment with the IRS pales in comparison to your returns on an investment with a syndicator, or what we colloquially call a lead partner, in the transactions that you can go invest those dollars in. So we like the real estate model. I personally am an investor in multifamily. I understand exactly how it works. Wonderful returns, at least in my case. I know in others' cases, there's what I would call spectacular returns. In others, they're so-so. A lot of people hit some singles. Some people hit some doubles. Every once in a while, I see a grand slam. I saw a recent transaction off one of the platforms where the partner had achieved a 72% ROI, and I think it was shy of 3 years. Those happen, but they're not the norm. And I guess that's what I would urge you to be understanding of. You know, and again, a 10% rate of return isn't a bad deal, you know, when you look at what else your money might be invested in. So it's not like I'm suggesting in any way that you should avoid this asset space. No, you should learn more about the multifamily asset space, and single family for that matter, although, you know, for most of us, especially us older guys, the multifamily option is more appealing because you've got a younger, typically a younger, more energetic party that's willing to get out of bed every morning and go run those Class C and maybe B minus apartment buildings that generate lots of cash flow. Let me ask, or let me answer a couple of the questions. I've had a few questions come in while we're talking, and one person is asking, you know, if I already have a full-time job as an employee and I'm participating in my, or I want to participate in my employer's 401, which I would argue that's probably something you should reconsider, but okay, if you're of the mindset that you want to keep some eggs in that basket, can you do it? And the answer is absolutely you can. It's just that we have to look, when we talk about current year contributions, which I know that may surprise some people that even with the self-directed 401, you have that option. You absolutely do. And it'll change your, you know, if you think you understand 401s and IRAs and why, you know, you should avoid them, et cetera, once you understand how you can control your money with a self-directed 401, I'm going to tell you that it's the single best way to invest in real estate, period. And I mean to the point where if you found some money buried in your backyard, your challenge is to find out how to qualify to get that money into a 401 where you can retain the extra 30% capital moving forward on those investments, not how to keep it out. And I generally do agree with a lot of what the real estate gurus say, which is, you know, when you talk about a traditional 401 or IRA, I think it's a bad trade-off. And boy, are we getting ready to see it right now with the tax brackets headed up. You know, you may say, well, gee, Nathan, I've got $2 million in my 401k account for retirement. And I'm going to say, no, you don't. You've got something less of that. It's probably 60 to 70%, depending on, again, where you live. And as these rates trickle up, it's going to diminish further. So you really don't control what you think you do with your 401. And then when you layer on some of your other risk over the rest of your life, such as long-term health care, chronic illness, et cetera, the new normal is maybe $2 to $3 million you need in savings, not the $1 million that I think most of us used to refer to as being, quote, retired. It may be retired from a cash flow perspective, depending on which investment you're in. You may have retired your income needs, but if you get slammed with what I've read, and of course these articles are all over the internet, you can pick your poison, but you're somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million the average American couple will spend on health care in retirement, and that includes long-term health care. And lest you think that that's a bunch of hooey, I personally have had some folks in my arena, clients and relatives, that in the last year have been impacted by exactly that level of unexpected health care that easily gets to those amounts. And the problem is, unless you were fortuitous in your thinking and, you know, 10, 15 years ago you started paying for an insurance policy to cover that risk, you're going to have to spend down your net worth the way the Medicare rules work. One spouse goes into skilled nursing and maybe they're paying $7,000 or $8,000 a month and there's no end in sight. You know, you've got to spend down your family's net worth before Medicare is going to cover it, which means the other spouse is essentially bankrupted. And so, you know, we can invest in the right asset class for cash flow, but it may be a poor choice to cover some of the other risks that we have in life. And so that's what we try to work with you on, is getting your assets into the right type, or getting your investments in the right type of assets, including real estate. Real estate absolutely is the driver in our strategy, but we also have learned how to use some other tools that get us some major benefits. Anyway, I hear the music. We're going to a break. If you called earlier and would like to call back in or connect with me offline, feel free to do so. You can reach me through the baplanner.com website or email me at nathan@npross.com. We'll be back.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV. Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
Press and late-night comedians mocked former First Lady Melania Trump's accent. Enter Beijing Biden's wife, Jill Biden, taking a stab at Spanish.
So say it with me. Si, se, Broadway. Thank you.
And what do we hear from the biased press and late-night comics? Turn them off, turn us on. Equal opportunity offenders. Coming up with the Chris Salcedo Show. See you at 7 after Lance on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Paul Merlin, a radio icon. His unique style and warm personality endeared him to so many. His endless stories and great music will never die. Paul may no longer be with us, but his memory will live on. KSEV is proud to continue with the best of Paul every Saturday evening, 6 till 8 p.m. Paul said it best as he closed his show.
We'll meet again at 700 a.m. KSEV in Heavenly Houston.
Okay, we're back, and I've had a couple more questions come in by email here. Let me see if these make sense for today. Okay, here's a good one. I'm a real estate investor with mostly passive income, but I also have some active income from what we call flips, which is, you know, buying and selling a property without the intent to hold it. In other words, it's inventory. And the question is, am I self-employed? Because one of the tenets, one of the qualifications to have a self-directed 401 trust is even if you're employed with an employer in a W-2, that income does not count towards the requirement that we have some self-employment income. However, the hurdle for qualifying with self-employment income is not difficult. There's no statutory amount of income. It's simply doing some form of activity with the intention of making a profit. And flips is absolutely an activity that would qualify. And I know, you know, some of the platforms don't teach flips. I know others that do. As an example, Total Wealth Academy is one group here in town. I think Steve Davis is the contact over there, and I've had Steve on the show. It's been a month or so, but Steve will teach you how to do flips, and I would suggest doing flips is just like investing in multifamily to the extent that you need to do it. You need to learn and be educated about how to do it correctly, because it's not investment real estate. I understand that, and I agree with others that say, you know what, it's a job, it's not investment. Well, you know what, that's a true statement, but also happens to be a way to generate profits faster than almost any other type of real estate activity. And I'm going to suggest to you, if you're behind, it's a way to catch up. And I'll never forget, I saw a letter to the editor, and I think it was USA Today, a year and a half or so ago. It was a 58-year-old gentleman that was behind on retirement savings and knew it. And, you know, it had some hardship in life with divorce and children in the hospital, that kind of thing, where he'd gradually whittled away his 401k savings. And the question to the financial planner, of course, we can almost anticipate the answer, is how do I get caught up? And the thing he had going for him was he had a decent W-2 job, a couple hundred thousand dollars a year in income. And, of course, the financial planner gave the traditional response, well, you know, we need to max out on your 401 contribution, of course, and you're going to have to save more. You know, you're going to have to quit going to Starbucks, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, I'll just tell you, it's very difficult to save your way to retirement. You've got to have the right asset pool to get you there. And the real estate private partnerships, private placements, it's amazing how many of those will return somewhere between 10 and 30% annually. And that's the reason we like that asset. We've personally experienced it. And I'm going to suggest to you that for you to save, as I've heard others say, in fact, I just mentioned Steve Davis. I've heard Steve say this 1,000 times over the years, to save $1 million. And I think I'm going to adjust that up to $2 million now. You have to make $2 million. You can't save your way to a $2 million savings account in retirement. It's virtually impossible. And now with the tax rates moving up, again, you're probably over the next 15, 20 years, certainly you're going to lose half of that when you go to take the money out, unless you do it, you know, in a fashion that reduces the tax, which again, you know, retirement savings doesn't necessarily have to consist of traditional retirement accounts like IRAs and 401s. And as an example, we use some forms of properly structured insurance policies, and I know coming from a CPA that probably sounds odd, but let me tell you, when you understand what a significant tax savings is available by implementing the right type of insurance, and you understand that you can get long-term health care, chronic risk riders placed on those policies to where if you need the coverage, you have it. And you know, it's one thing to say I've got a couple million dollars in savings, it's another to say that I've got it staged where I can actually pay my bills next month. And when you're an investor in these partnerships that we like, you can't just reach in and pull 50 grand out for next quarter's bills because that's not how they work. You know, you've got a group of people you're invested with. You've got an operating agreement that defines how distributions are going to be made. And it's not like it's an index fund or a mutual fund or some stocks that you can call your broker and say, hey, you know, I need $50,000, please liquidate. So there's, you know, there's some thought, there's some planning, not just for next month, it's for next year, it's for the next 5 years as to how much we need to stage to accommodate that family's needs. And that's something that, again, it involves more than emotion. It involves math, and we excel at making those calculations and kind of riding shotgun with you, if you will, down the road so that we can help you assess the optimal transfer of funds from one bucket to the next bucket, et cetera. And I mean by that from the pre-tax to the taxable to the no tax or whatever order you want to put those in. Essentially, all of us have three buckets typically that our investments are sitting in, and you know, it's not just what's the weather like today. That's not what dictates what goes in each bucket. There's, you know, there's math that has to be considered, and it's literally different for every client we look at. And by having an understanding of how partnerships work and how permanent life insurance works, as an example, that's how we're able to work that puzzle and come back to the correct amount for you. Let's see here. Took care of the real estate investor. Well, okay, I didn't finish explaining on the 58-year-old example I was using. You know, a 58-year-old that can do some flips, and, you know, you could pick your numbers, but it's not uncommon to generate as much as $100,000 to $200,000 a year in flip income on, say, several transactions. All of that's self-employed, which means it qualifies to make current year contributions into your 401. And a guy that's 58 years old could potentially put up to as much as $63,500 into the account. And again, let me explain something. You know, when you talk about, well, gee, Nathan, I hear you say on the one hand you don't want to make contributions to retirement accounts. And now I hear you saying, well, you have the ability to make contributions to the self-directed. I'm referring to the self-directed model. Again, what happens when we make a contribution to a self-directed 401, not the one at your office or your employer plan? When you make the contribution to the employer plan, you've just taken money out of your pocket that's not still where you can control it. I mean, I understand there may be investment choices But you really don't control that money to the sense that if you wanted to pull that money out to go do whatever you wanted to go do, whether it's invest in real estate or invest in a trip to Tahiti, you make the call. You're going to pay tax and you're going to pay penalty if you're less than 59 and a half. With the 401 trust, the self-directed version, let's talk about what happens with that 58-year-old that generates maybe a couple $100,000 in flip income this year. He's going to make a contribution for the $63,500 amount. If he claims it as a pre-tax variety, he's going to get a deduction for it. If he claims it as a Roth, then he won't. But, of course, that money will never get taxed again, nor any of the little baby geese that come off of that investment. All the dollars from cash flow earnings, et cetera, will not be taxable. And so you have a choice there. But in either case, what's happening is you're taking money out of your back left pocket, moving it over to your right left pocket. You didn't go buy inventory. You didn't go buy or pay for rent expense, pay for your internet service. All your expenditures that I as an accountant or maybe you as a realtor or you as an attorney or a consultant have, that money's still in your pocket. It's just in your other pocket. And guess who's in control of where it goes next? You're the one that's going to decide which syndicator or which piece of real estate you could go invest in for that 401. And yes, the 401 owns it. That's what gives it the ability to avoid tax on all the investment gains until you're ready to take the money out, which is typically a long time if you're talking about all of the money, right? And so bottom line is that's a big difference between the normal 401 or IRA contribution, the traditional contributions where you don't have necessarily the ability to control it. And I would suggest to you, if you're behind on your savings, an activity like flipping can make a huge, a turbocharge effect, getting you to a level where now your ability to live in retirement is more possible and at a higher level. And again, if we did all that outside the 401, you're going to dribble out, 30 to, in the case of flips, that's the highest form of tax. Ordinary income rates of 37 plus 15% self-employment tax, it's brutal. And so you just don't have as much capital at the end of the day to get the compounding effect started on. So we really like that. And, I ran some numbers out based on that 50-year-old or 58-year-old, and clearly within, 7 to 10 years, he was right where he would need to be, assuming he could execute that strategy, which I have clients that have done that, so it's absolutely possible. Well, gee, it's hard to believe we're through another show this week. I've enjoyed it. I hope you've learned something. I hope you've got some questions you can send me for next week. Again, Nathan@npross.com, and maybe you can think about some questions to call in with next week. Would love to have a chance to help you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of the Be a Planner Show right here on AM 700 KSEV.